Dude, I don't even know why they still hold on to Waterworld.
I don't know.
Bro, it's a blast. I'm not letting it die.
No, let it die, dude.
No, I'm not letting it die.
It sucks, dude.
No, it's so good.
Why do you like everything that sucks? And it's always in the beginning of Entrance.
Why do you hate everything that sucks?
No, why do you always like the first thing in the beginning on the right?
It is.
Lincoln Story?
Because it's a warm-up. Waterworld? It's a warm-up.
Dude, you just walk into Thebes Park. What? It's always the first thing on the right.
All right. Here we go. Coming in. 10 seconds. Coming in. 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and with me, of course, is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, guys, to almost summer, but not summer yet, but it feels like summer.
So basically summer.
Basically summer. We got our 1 week of spring, and now we're heading into summer.
Yep. Yes. It's going to drop again this upcoming week.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to drop again.
It's right now, I think, like, this week is its highest, and then coming, like, Monday into the next week, I think it's supposed to drop back down to like the 70s, low 70s.
For like 2-3 days until it goes right back up to the 90s?
It says for the whole week, but I might be wrong.
I don't believe it. I never believe it.
No, it's going, it's dropping down. I'm looking at it right now like,
no, I believe the drop, but then it just lately, this whole week has just been like, oh, let's get some 90s, get some 70s, get some 90s, get some 70s.
It has been a roller coaster of
But except waves. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to get like the dramatic, goes from 80s to 69.
What the fuck?
Damn,
bro.
Well, getting some dramatic news going, man. Yeah, we got some stuff for you guys. A lot of hot topics tonight because shit has been happening over in Hollywood since this last couple of weeks, man. Yeah. First, what we got here, Armie Hammer is trying to make his Hollywood return with his film, The Dark Knight. But not Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight. No, this is another film titled The Dark Knight, created by filmmaker Uwe Boll. You guys heard this name multiple times throughout this podcast, and you know how we feel about Uwe Boll and any one of his films. But this is interesting. Armie Hammer is actually trying to make his way back into filming again.
Man is a menace. He should never touch a camera again.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Armie Hammer at first.
him too.
he shouldn't touch a phone again. That's what he should do.
One shouldn't touch a phone. One shouldn't never touch a camera.
And don't ever be alone with him at dinner at his home. Bro's going to pull up fucking Hannibal Lecter. No, that's just...
I'm surprised. Can you imagine if his first role back was doing some type of Hannibal movie?
Honestly, that probably would have been the best thing he would have done. Like,
just own up to it.
You might as well just play into it because it's like everyone's going to joke about it. Mm-hmm. So you might as well just play into it.
Yeah.
You know, just fuck it.
And for people who don't know, he got accused of being a cannibal. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, he had sexual assault allegations, but not assault, sexual harassment allegations.
Yes. But they were never followed through.
But a lot of people latch onto the aspect with the text messages he had, which were very conveying a lot of cannibalistic nature.
But it was like same words that were just like, I want to taste you or something.
It was mild for the most part. Yeah.
You know, it was like a R&B 2000s music lyric, you know?
But yes, this is interesting. Armie Hammer and Uwe Boll are teaming up to produce a film that used to be called The Dark Knight. But however, Warner Brothers has since sent a cease and desist letter over to Uwe Boll and his team, to which they had to change the name of the film itself. Now it's called Citizen Vigilante.
I like how there's a part in this article that says Uwe Boll said, "We had a very friendly conversation with Warner Bros. About the title change." When in reality, it was probably like a harsh, like a phone call, just him picking up, hello, yo, change that fucking name, and then just hang up.
That's it. Nothing else said. He's like, you better change that name.
Just some harsh ass words. No, it was a really nice call. Yeah, it was really friendly.
Yeah, we spoke and we came to an agreement. We came to an
agreement. And they're calling him again like, yeah, you spin it any way you need to.
But we own the fucking Dark Knight, bitch. I am the Dark Knight. But yeah, I'm actually surprised Uwe Boll is trying to make films again. It has been a while. I thought he gave up on that.
Man, me too, man. I was so happy, man. He gave up. I was, so God happy. Damn it. Why? Stay in the fucking dark, dude.
Maybe he might do another Alone in the Dark.
Maybe that's why he is the Dark Knight. He's coming into the light.
Dude, at this point, you think that he would get the message that Hollywood does not want him after Blizzard told him hell no.
I'm just still surprised he's even getting funding.
Dude, he's tricking some people, man. It's got to be somewhere that he's...
Army Hammer is like his main benefactor, bro.
The main, the only producer.
That's how he's making his comeback. Maybe. Bro needed to find a director that Hollywood didn't even want.
You see, like, executive producer, Army Hammer, producer, Army Hammer, backup lighting, Army Hammer. He just had, like, double up for the space, like, another student project for him.
It's like, damn, bro, just made the movie in your own house then.
But you did made the point before we started, like, it would have been better for him to try to do, like, other venues of indie films to make it back.
Okay, the chance of his Hollywood comeback would probably never happen.
Yeah.
The blockbuster route, at least.
Yeah.
But he could at least, you know, weasel his way in by doing the indie route, mm-hmm. by doing, you know, a bunch of, you know, college students' films and, you know, low budget films here and there.
Yeah.
That could probably get his weasel his way in there.
But to make his comeback with Yui Ball.
Well, Yui Ball, dude, you're just burning. You might as well just burn the final bridge, man.
Yeah, that's like it. That's the final burn right there. So I'm actually interested to see. We're going to watch this one. We definitely have to watch
it. We're not watching this shit.
No. I'll openly admit it. We'll pirate it. We'll pirate this movie. I'll openly admit it right now.
Come after us, fucking Yui Ball. Fuck you, man. What the fuck you can do about it?
Next thing what we have here, we have the first look at Universal's Epic Universe. This is their theme park that they have over in Florida that is actually sounding like it's competing against Disney World.
I don't think it's competition at this point.
No? Bro, you think they're overtaking?
Bro, they are overtaking. Yeah.
I mean, we did see the POV look of, what was the ride?
It was like the Frankenstein monster ride.
Yeah. And those animatronics, man.
Holy shit.
It was actually fantastic. They look amazing.
Like they almost look like real people.
Yeah.
It actually does look like real actors who are standing up on those track areas.
Yeah because like Disney's supposedly at times were known for their animatronics. Mm-hmm. And their last great animatronic was the Navi in the... And it looks, it's like, say, fluid motion and all this stuff, but nothing
like this. You got Frankenstein, you have Wolfman, Dracula, that whole like
Black Lagoon.
So when we're seeing, so there was a clip that we're watching where it had the POV inside the ride and there was like all these effects going on. Were those just screens happening on those parts?
It's the, I forgot the effect called, but
projectors.
Holographic projector.
Ride. Okay, yes. Got it.
Yeah, because, well, now they're starting to incorporate kind of like, practical effects with screen, mm-hmm. which what you saw on we saw on there where it was the animatronic of Frankenstein
like reacting,
and then they put lighting and the screen on the inside to make it look like a lightning bolt going through him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So they're trying to incorporate all technology as one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but compared to like, as again back to Disney, bro, it's nowhere near
that.
And it's and the whole theme is pretty cool. The way it's not just like. The way they describe it, it's portals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's different theme parks. They have the How You Train Your Dragon park. You have this park, like the Dark Universe.
Yeah. So do we have like a lot of these portal arches, as you see in this photos right here? And that's where they use to transition from the different worlds, right?
Yes. Where you walk through these portals and then you go into the universe of like whatever it is.
Which we kind of got a small version of it out here. Remember once you at the Nintendo Land?
Yeah.
They used the warp tube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so similar, I guess now they're incorporating it to the entire park itself. So.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so they have that, How to Train Your Dragon, Harry Potter, Nintendo. I think they have like one more other thing. But like I do like their overall theme that they're going for. And so well, in fact, that apparently that plans for a Universal UK is being prepared even.
Okay, so now Universal is trying to stretch out to other places too, because the only other place they really had was like Universal Japan, right?
I think so. I think that's the only
place. I don't think they really have any other like Universal areas.
Yeah. Downside of the Universal Florida is you can't drink.
Yeah.
That's an actual rule. No alcohol.
No alcohol, man. That's going to be that's a tough one.
I thought this was fucking America.
This is America, man.
I thought it was America. I'm sorry. I'm done with America.
No, like, I talked about this, like, when's the last time you guys actually been to a theme park and the entire time you didn't have any alcohol, anything?
Never.
Yeah.
Not since being an adult. Mm.
Now, it is smart. It's definitely smart to cut down on alcohol at theme parks.
Now, I'm not saying that we're like shit-faced going in, but like, your shit-faced going in?
I used to pregame by going to a theme park, yes.
Bro, you had me concerned. Like, you were like, no.
It's fucked up going through security. You can't stop me just throwing cans at them.
What are you
going
to do? Oh, yuck. This is my house of mouse.
I own this now.
Give me a churro. I'll be all right.
My niece did. Dude, I did that at Disneyland.
Did you? Really?
We pre-game pretty hard before going to the park.
Oh, shit.
It sucked.
I bet.
Yeah, it sucked. Dude. So the time you get in the park, you're already sobered up.
Yeah.
Because you got tired. You got to remember. You got to hit that indoor parking, right?
Yeah.
Then we pre-game pretty hard in the parking lot. Uh-huh. You have to get on the tram, which you have to wait about 20 minutes before that tram comes to
actually show up.
So you're already sobering up by the time you get...
You take the tram, which is still like a 5-minute ride. You have to walk up to the front gates, pass security, wait in line. And so the time you're in there, which passed like an hour at this point, hour and a half.
You're sobered up.
Yep. And it's hot. Bro, it's gone.
Your vision's already fixed at 2020 by the time you see the Mickey Garden when you walk through the turnaround.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're like, man.
Damn. All right. I'm going to spend about 50 bucks. Right.
God damn it.
Yeah, no. So this is actually going to be really interesting to see how Epic Universe is going to handle within the next couple of years and how much more they're going to blow up. Like I said, you guys believe they're going to move past Disney, right?
Yes, but... Nothing we got to take concern now, which really sucks, is unfortunately because of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how's that going to affect attendance on these parks?
That's true.
Yeah, so we might have to, we'll know maybe like in 5 years or so what the actual
numbers are going to look like and how much figures they're bringing in. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Last one we have here for our film news before we hit our break. There is chaos happening in theaters for the Minecraft movie, man. These kids, man.
And not even like the term of, oh man, the chaos of like the amount of kids that want to go see this. No, it's just in the theater.
It's just in the theater chaos. Kids throwing popcorn, drinks, snacks, shouting, jumping on each other's shoulders. Someone brought a fucking chicken in.
Yes, that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Like, why are all the kids blowing this movie up to a proportion? It's not really like little kids. We're talking about teenagers, young adults here.
Don't know. I don't know, man. I play the game itself, and I can tell you right now, I have no desire to throw a fucking chicken in the theaters.
But, like, you have people like, there's no dialogue in the Minecraft game, but you have people already, like, referencing this movie like it's dialogue that they're copying from the game. You got people bringing out all the little references and going crazy over it, like the freaking chicken jockey and everything like that. What's the relevance of it being this big? Like, I get it's a popular game, but it's not like on that level where it has that type of Easter eggs, that type of like beloved fandom. Especially among the age group who are actually going to the movies, watching this and freaking out. Like, we saw the videos, we saw the TikToks, we saw all that stuff. These are like between 16-year-olds to like young 20-year-olds doing this.
These are just assholes. That's what they are.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just the best explanation is these people are dicks. Mm. They're just, that's all it is.
And this is not like knocking down the movie saying it's good or bad. I mean, this is movies blowing up. It's making a shit ton of money like we expected. And I think they even think it might even surpass Barbie.
I think it already passed
opening weekend.
The opening weekend beating out Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. So that makes sense. But those regards for the popularity makes sense. But what is happening with this chaos in theaters? Like, it kind of reminds me that they're trying to do the gimmick with Rocky Horror. You know how people act up in Rocky Horror shows? They're like trying to mimic that, but to a whole nother extreme.
I guess. I guess the whole meme culture behind it, because people are trying to... Some people did it on TikTok, so they're trying to...
Meme it out
and try to get popularity by recording it and put it online.
Trying to make like another little plank, another new Harlem Shake, that type of stuff. Yeah.
Now, I don't even think it's that. I think it's that...
How far can you take it?
That and in their minds, essentially, I'm going to get more views because I recorded the event.
Mm-hmm. Sure that. It's like we got like one clip right here that someone shared on X.
Yeah. And then... Literally, people are throwing their buckets of popcorn.
And this is the one where someone brought a fucking chicken.
Someone's riding on another person's shoulders.
Yeah, he brought a chicken.
And then look it. They turned up.
They turned on the lights.
Yeah.
And they got kicked out. Like, that was
but
it.
That's not anticipated.
Yeah,
but that's just the one.
It's not just that theater.
No.
Yeah.
It's a majority of theaters around the globe.
Yeah. And it's getting to the point now, like, even, like, in the state of New Jersey, you're having theater chains actually addressing to the audience members, like, yes, this is a PG movie, but you must have a responsible adult with you now.
Yes.
Like, we can't trust you guys just going here and watching this by yourselves.
Yeah,
you
need to have an adult. People are throwing slushies at the screen itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that does, unfortunately, does actually cause property damage by doing that.
Yes. Like, so police have been called and removed people from
Yes. this. And on top of that, come on, those people are already work a shitty job. No need to fucking make
it. Dude, for real. Yeah, and the workers are pissed because they have to be the one to clean it.
Yeah, no one wants to usher right after that.
No one.
No, it's just as bad as, I don't know if it's as bad or maybe worse, or maybe the other time was worse when they had 50 Shades of Grey.
I'd probably say this is worse.
The cucumbers?
The cucumbers,
that one
man.
Was just really fucking weird. Like, definitely fucking weird. But I would say this one's worse.
This is more cleanup, dude. This
people
is like,
are throwing, like, not just popcorn, but they're throwing slushies at the screens. They're throwing bags of flour around. Like, fucking up the chairs and the upholsteries.
Yeah.
Like, it's just chaos.
Yeah. And it was interesting, too, because before this, even when this movie was first announced, people were talking shit. The first trailer came out, people were talking so much shit.
Yeah.
Now all that shit talking is gone, and we're just getting chaos in theaters. Yes.
At this point, it's just like, it's kind of like how the origins of Gru, like the Minions or whatever,
movie.
Like, that alone wasn't projected to make money, but then it became meme-worthy to get dressed up, like, to the nines. And then walk up to the counter and be like 9-4 Origins of Gru or whatever, just to kind of show the juxtaposition of what you think you're coming to see because the way you're looking, and you get like a little kid's movie. Yeah. And so the movie itself made a shit ton of money because of that meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those memes don't hurt no one.
No.
Or at least doesn't just...
You son of a bitch.
I forgot to put this thing on silent.
Yeah? Yeah?
Hey, we never actually announced it in the beginning, remember? So
no announcement, guys. You can't blame me.
But I'd probably say like one thing that did highlight, or at least like kind of make my day about this whole thing, was that you had someone trying to like... You had people doing the chant of like, when I say mine, you say craft. You know, they do that.
Yeah.
And some kid tried to do that. And you could tell by how old he was. He was like maybe 12. 11 to 12. Because like, you know, his balls haven't quite descended yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, when I say... Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he was like, when I say mine, you say craft. Mine. And adult was just like, shut the fuck up.
Did they have a video of that?
I don't know.
See that.
They do.
Oh my goodness, though.
But I mean, this type of reaction with theaters, it's always been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not to the extent of throwing popcorn and drinks and nachos all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of like the audience participating like in the movie itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's at least once a year we get a movie like that, or at least once every 2 years we get a movie like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where people go crazy, yell, or you know, shit. Last time it was that Taylor Swift movie.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Then we also got Wicked last time too as well. Don't forget that.
All the fucking theater kids.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's not a, I won't say not a normal thing, but it does happen.
I like how we spent most of the time on this one. But one last thing I do want to add though is like the meme worthy of like theater kids going to see Wicked.
Yeah.
And like as they're starting to sing and some adult, it's like, shut the fuck up. I didn't pay money to come and see this shit just to hear you sing. I didn't pay fucking $4. You know what? Fuck it. You know what? Sing. Sing now.
Sing. I'm telling you to sing.
I'm telling you to sing. Do it now. You want to sing? Perform.
Dance for me, monkey.
Like, shit. You want to be the star? Be the star. Get up. Get up. Get to the front. So if you get it.
I start crying and singing at the same time.
Pick your ass up.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, the more movies that are going to be coming out like this, you know, there's going to be crazier audience. Like, wait until they produce like more of those like Mattel game movies and stuff like that.
Like Transformers?
No, like
Connect Four?
Like Rock'em Sock'em Robots and shit like that. Sorry.
You had that with Real Steel.
I don't know. Really did. Yeah, I know.
Real Steel was the shit.
I don't know. Maybe until the next big video game, kid video game movie. I don't know what to be the next big one.
Yeah.
Maybe Zelda? I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Ha! Ha! Listen.
All right, we're going to take a break from our sponsor and Mike giving out some quick film news topics. And when we get back to you guys, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys.
Here are categories that couldn't make it in today's episode. AMC is expanding by adding 40 Dolby Cinema auditoriums in the U.S. Sean the Diddler Combs is demanding Warner Brothers turn over the raw footage that was used in the Fall of Diddy documentary. And a new category for stunt design has been added to the list of award categories in the Oscars. It'll be implemented in 2027. And that's it for the smaller news. Now, back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. Hollywood is gonna be affected by the trade wars happening right now between the U.S. and China. China has announced that they will be reducing their film count for how many U.S. films they allow in their country.
Yeah, it's
It was about time before this was going to happen. Do you think, though, this tariff trade war will last long enough to actually affect Hollywood? Like, a lot of people don't believe this is going to last long. This might be like another month, another 2 months, and then everything's going to settle down. They're going to have to reach some type of agreement. But do you think it can last long enough that it would actually affect upcoming films not being able to be marketed in China?
I don't know. That's actually what's tricky.
The Chinese market is the biggest market out there that every film studio tries to go for.
Yes. And I don't know how that's going to go, because it does play into the whole double thing of one, yes, they are the biggest market, but we had that problem the last, 10, 15 years now of, you know, bowing to the Chinese market itself.
Yeah.
Which you couldn't do certain things because of the Chinese markets.
Mm-hmm. The censorship over there.
The censorship is a lot more
extreme. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not even allowed to have Winnie the Pooh over there.
Yeah, shit.
But yeah, that has been a kind of issue that has been going on for the last 10 years, is we have been producing and promoting more movies that are more intended for the Chinese market over there. But that has been the moneymaker. With these studios now losing a big chunk of that moneymaker, do you think that will heavily affect the type of films they're going to try to produce? Or do you think they're going to have to backtrack and to try to produce only locally here?
That's where it gets super tricky, because as we know that they're talking about the Chinese and that's it. Mm-hmm. But also don't forget that what we talked about, I think it was like maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, was that the film studios were planning to market towards other territories.
Yeah.
Especially the Indian markets. Yeah. That was supposed to be one of the big markets out there, because it is a large population out there as well.
That has been a thing. Yeah. So we have been, over the last couple of years, slowly trying to market less towards the Chinese market and try to hit other markets in other countries. Mm-hmm. Now, some like India has been successful, but then there's other places like Germany, UK, where it still hasn't got up to the numbers that they're looking for. So to have that easier transition appear, like just to cut out the Chinese market altogether, that's going to hurt for Disney and Warner Brothers and Universal. And primarily,
Michael Bay. Huh? And Michael Bay.
And Michael Bay too.
And James Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But you see, like, all the heavy studios are going to hit big with that one. And it's going to have to cause a big old revamp on the type of films they're going to have to produce. That is the biggest thing why we have been getting a shit ton more blockbusters, because the blockbusters hit over in the Chinese market. That's why we used to talk about, like, 10, 15 years ago, how many blockbusters you used to get a year, like 3, 4.
Yeah.
Now you're getting like 15, 20 a year.
Yeah.
So I see that heavily reducing, but that really depends on how long the tariffs are going to last for.
Well, they didn't say they're going to cut out 100%.
No, they said reduce, not 100%, reduce. Yes.
So we might have, which, to me, that seems like they're still going to keep the blockbuster films still coming in, just not the mid or lower films.
You're going to have your Sonics. You're going to have your Minecraft, like the big blockbuster kid films. Yes. You're going to have your Marvel films. Yes.
Yes.
But anything else besides of that, like other film franchises might get affected by this.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's like, since we don't know, because obviously unfortunately, with today's politics, it's kind of a day-to-day basis.
It really is a day-to-day basis.
Because we're told one thing, and then we're told it's, you know, this is not going to happen for the next 90 days. And then we're told it's, no, it's happening now. Then
yeah, yeah.
So we really don't, unfortunately, don't have a grip on exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I've known that is people do love their entertainment.
Oh, yes.
So how much is going to be cut out? I don't know. What, like I said, when they say reduced, they're not even telling us exact numbers reduced-wise. So that's why this thing's like, I don't know.
And right now, everyone has only been talking in regards to like theatrical film releases. They haven't said anything with streaming content yet, and whether this will affect streaming content. Like Disney Plus does sell out there.
Yes.
You see, you're saying like, would this affect like Paramount Plus if it sells over there? Like those streaming platforms, will the tariffs affect those prices?
I don't know. Do they do a tariff charge over a digital product?
I think it's more along the lines, from what I was reading, it's less along the lines of like a product charge and more along the lines of like because of high tariff prices on just the normal necessities and goods of everyday life, that the nickel and diming starts to take effect.
So people are going to cut those out first because they need to pay for necessities. But would there be any regards of like, you know, if they were originally over there paying for Disney Plus like $5 a month, and now with tariffs they have to pay like $15, of course that can cut people out from purchasing, from even wanting to buy the subscription in the first place. Would the subscriptions jump in price along with, you know, just reducing the number of films, and of course the films that do come in there, if you have high tariffs, would that jack up the ticket prices as well?
Okay, like understand when it comes to tariff, like it makes sense when it comes to a film because it actually is, you know, either digitally done or it's actually physically flown out the footage itself. So it makes sense, or they hand over the hard drives. That makes sense. But when it comes to like Disney Plus or Peacock or something like that, if it's a digital, you know, server login, that's what it is. If there is a tariff, and it makes sense, like you said, that if people, you know, not want to buy it because of the day-to-day basis of, you know, the groceries are higher, so that means they're gonna lose some streaming services. I think what we'll see is most the major ones I think will stay would be like Disney, Hulu, Netflix. I think those are the three that will, you know, withstand all this stuff. The other ones, I don't know. But that my main question was, does affect a digital login?
I don't know.
That's a hard question. That is a really good question because
you got to remember, like,
there's no scarcity with it.
Yeah,
because it's digitally there. So and all you have to do is just give it. So there is no amount of like, oh, we can purchase this much of Disney Plus.
And there's no reliability of, and there's no reliability of China, like, coding wise or like a physical.
Yeah, there's nothing physical component being transferred over. Yeah.
That's like, oh, we need this certain component to make Disney Plus. Like there's nothing like that.
Yeah. Like I said, it makes sense with film. You gotta bring something back and forth. Tariffs might go higher, or there might be some kind of, you know, charge for something like that. Digital, streaming digital services.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Luckily, most of the film and television industry won't be affected as far as like tariff goods of like whatever, like equipment wise.
We really won't be affected.
They'll be more affected on lines of people will go less to the theaters. People will start cutting streaming services because now it's in the area where it's like, well, can't afford like 3, 4, 5 streaming services and not get groceries. Yeah.
Like this is something that no matter what, it won't affect us, but this is something that affects the decision making over at the major studios. Because remember, the last couple of years, they've been heavily developing a lot of production towards the Chinese market. If that's
income.
That's income. So if that tariff lasts, if their whole, hey, we're not going to accept US films as much, lasts longer past the trade wars, past the tariffs, that's going to be a big dent to these film studios. They're going to have to find other means to make up the prices, whether that will be jacking up, you know, Disney Plus on our end or trying to produce more films for, you know, in our country here rather than overseas. But something's definitely going to have to change if nothing changes on this regards, which I kind of do hope it stays. I have been a big voice maker against trying to produce so many films for a specific market rather than a general audience. So I'm a big I'm a big proponent of like, yes, let's have them reduce the number of US films they accept so we can actually refocus on the type of storytelling we do really want to tell.
Instead of making one that's like, oh, like, does this movie meet all the check boxes of all the countries that we're able to show it in?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, then, I mean, then it just kind of starts to look like that South Park episode of Stan trying to write lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And our one officer is just like with the pen, like, and then like over certain lines.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it does become an issue when you're writing and then you have someone looking over your shoulder like, oh, well, this doesn't work in this country. Well, this doesn't work in this country. This doesn't work in this country. So we have to change that. You see, it really cuts back on the creativity of the project.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, damn, I lost my train of thoughts. I had a thought about it. This is gone.
Yeah. But no, this is something like I'm actually agreeing where this is something should stay in place. Whether it affects the big studios or not, I do believe we really do need to refocus on the type of films we are producing and who we're producing it for.
Actually, there it goes. The Dodgers came back. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yes, because if you think back, that's why movies like from the 80s and 90s hit different.
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't really, you know, they're just meant for the market. They were making for a specific market, but just for out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people complain, like, well, the older movies are better than newer ones. It's because there was no restrictions. There was just like, hey, here's a film. Here, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But another point. Damn, I just lost another point. There was a second point to that thing. Damn, I'm just tired.
It's gone. It's gonna appear like in the middle of the night when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's what I want to say.
Put the cameras back on.
No, but yeah, definitely movies older back in the days, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, the realm of cinema was completely different.
Yes. And now I just came back again. Okay. Because of this tariffs and everything like that, we're actually going to probably see more block, you know, not either, not say more, but franchise films.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot export, you know, these
originals,
guess what? You could probably export another Transformers, another Batman movie, another
tentpoles that are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yes. And gotcha. Because the terrorists, people are not going to want to go to theaters as much. The only way to get people to theaters nowadays is by doing franchises, which we covered a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
That franchises bring people to the seats. And we actually might see that heavily a lot more because of this.
Jesus.
Now, do you think we'll be stupid enough to be like, well, you're putting, you know, reducing, you know, our films. We're going to reduce your films, even though we really don't take much of their films at all.
I wouldn't put anything past, honestly, these days.
I don't know. You might lose your anime film, dude. You might lose one on that. Like,
Texas is banned anime. Do you know that?
Wait, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I gotta look that up.
I know the one who introduced that has got to be a hardcore hentai perv. That's why he wants it banned. I gotta get the demons out of my head.
No,
I can't be swayed by the temptations.
You got like one senator who got caught by his wife watching hentai, and now he's on the mission.
He's like, it's the devil.
It was the devil that convinced me. We got to get rid of all the animus.
It's Joel Osteen. They did it. They're the same ones who said nobody can come into my church, into my stadium during that heavy rain season.
Oh, no, it's because it's super vague. That's why.
Yeah.
Bill's super vague. And they're saying even Texas themselves, this bill's not meant to attack the actual anime itself. It's the it's the fan base that no one really likes.
The weebs?
The creepy weebs.
Okay.
Because they're talking about obscene materials depicting a child.
Okay.
So that material wise, they're talking about banning that. But since the bill's super vague.
It sounds like just all anime in general.
You know, because they can't go into further detail because they're going to be like, how do you know about this? You know? And like, listen, they're mentioning certain age demographics and they start listing off the categories of like the different genres.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get rid of that shonen.
All right. No etchies. What's that?
Yeah, we got to get rid of all that isekai.
And and titles that exceed more than 11 words.
Yeah. Seriously, those long-ass titles. I'm okay with that banning. Ban those extra long-titled animes.
I die and reincarnate as a vending machine in another world, and now I'm stuck here with some bullshit
like that, yeah.
Actually, this will probably kill your whole slice of life.
Yeah. Because it might kill a slice of life.
God damn it. I'm fighting for advocacy for slice of lives. God damn you if you try and take away my fucking Spring Festival episode.
But I guarantee they'll fight to keep Dragon Ball Z. Because I know damn well they'll watch
that. 100%.
Absolutely.
1,000%. Because that's manly. Yeah. Fighting. Yeah. And muscles. Look at all them muscles.
But I don't know. Do you guys think this is going to affect anything else besides for the entertainment industry? Do you think just besides for what films are going to be produced, do you think this whole tariff war, trade war can actually expand towards like equipment and stuff like that?
I think it depends on like what equipment we're getting from China.
I think it's going to depend. It's not the equipment itself. It's the parts in the equipment itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be the sensors, the chips, whatever. Like those components might affect the industry later down the road.
Yeah.
Just not at this particular second. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, technology moves forward. They're always building new cameras.
All that stuff, yeah.
So especially with, Pineapple or something like that, a new camera company coming out that they're working their way up. That they supposedly now release like a 16K camera or something like that, 32K camera.
Yeah, you got the 16Ks that are kind of out right now, and I think they're trying to produce 32K.
Yeah, 32K, which must be like a
full. Or I think it was 28. It's like 28 or 32, one of those. Yeah.
But like this, like those companies that now have to manufacture those parts, and now, you know, it's going to cost twice as much for those parts. Mm-hmm. It might affect that. If it lasts, though.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. Like, this thing has been so chaotic because it's just people mouthing off, saying words right now. So nothing has been really, really set in stone yet. And I don't really believe this will last long. Like, give it a month or two and everyone's going to kind of calm their tempers. So like, all right, let's work something out.
Until someone else says some stupid shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But everyone's always saying something stupid. Like, that'll never end.
But you got people who react to stupid shit.
That's true. That is very true. Well, do you guys got anything else to say after this before we fully close out? Any thoughts? Do you think this is going to last a long time? Do you think any other industry is going to get affected by it? Do you think any other film studios besides the ones I mentioned will get affected by this?
I think Paramount was already kind of struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of read something about... It's a totally different topic, but... Basically, their whole merger deal right now is in shambles because of the current stocks and everything.
Yeah, like,
the
stock markets have been chaotic. Yeah.
So, I mean, Paramount is literally on the edge of the cliff. Mm. So, I probably see Paramount being affected by this.
Okay, yeah. No, I could definitely see. Like I said, I don't see any of the small studios being affected by this. It will only be the major studios because they're the ones who actually promote movies internationally.
Like I said, they might just have to cut down to like 2 or 3 big blockbusters and that's it.
Yeah. Like I said, this might, like, out of all this shit that's been going on, this might actually help Hollywood. It'll tell them to cut back and really focus on your projects you really want it to work. Not everything's gonna work. So focus on the ones that really will work.
Yeah.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about the trade wars going on and how it's affecting Hollywood? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch this on our Red Band channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony mentioned, all the different ways you can be listening to us, including watching these videos at the time they're recorded on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. So consider heading on over there, watching these episodes as they are recorded. Usually the videos come out every Friday, audios every Wednesday. yeah, just head on over there, like, subscribe, comment down below what you think we should cover next, and share with a friend that you think might enjoy these episodes, you know, who's either in the industry or interested in being one, or is just interested in general about the overall movie experience, you know, and want to hear something refreshing other than some celebrity shopping at Trader Joe's. You know? Fucking give a shit. Yeah. And of course, all the different ways you can listen to us, as was mentioned earlier, but a little quick refresher. If you're on the go at the gym or, you know, just driving your way to work, you can be able to find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Look for the Screaming Microphone and consider sharing that with a friend as well that you think might enjoy it on their commute. And of course, our Patreon account is always up and running, so please head on over there and consider subscribing to that, because we really appreciate it, because the more subscribers we have equals more content. So I want to keep doing these, make it a solid schedule, and just pump these out for you, you know, as often as we can. So we'd really appreciate it. I know these times are troubling, but consider sitting, you know, giving a crumb or two. Please head on over there, give us a crumb. And yeah, that's all I got. All
right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.